What I say now, I say in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Friends, neighbors, acquaintances, long-lost family members, welcome to Easter Sunday. Welcome to the celebration at the end of Holy Week. Now, whether this has been an easy week for you or not, whether it has been a deeply reflective Holy Week, or whether you have struggled to connect with the stories of Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and now Easter Sunday, I am glad that you have joined us to celebrate in this Resurrection Sunday. Welcome all of you to the most important day on the Christian calendar, the day we remember the good news that our Lord Jesus Christ, who was put to death on Friday, rose from the grave as the first fruit of resurrection on Sunday morning. Hallelujah. If there's one day Presbyterians can shout in church, it's Easter Sunday. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
There we go. Today we celebrate the most important date in the Christian calendar. Today we celebrate with the disciples the truth that he is risen, that Mary has seen the Lord. We celebrate these things and we give thanks to Mary Magdalene, the very first witness of the resurrection. For if it were not for Christ's work in her life, none of us would be here as further witnesses to the glory of the resurrection, the joy of Easter morning. But before we get there, we must remember how that morning started. As John's text begins this morning, the disciples are still enduring the painful events of the first Holy Week. They are still hiding in fear from the crowd that is searching for them. They are still reeling to understand Jesus' teachings at the Last Supper. They are still no doubt traumatized by the events of Good Friday, seeing their Lord taken to the cross and killed. These 11 men are terrified, persecuted, and exhausted. And then Mary Magdalene comes into the hiding place of Simon Peter and another disciple with more disturbing news. Mary said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Instantly, 100 questions begin to form. Who has taken him? Where and why? Haven't we been made to suffer enough? The next scene that John describes is literally a running race between the two disciples and Mary as they all clamor and sprint after one another to reach the tomb. We have just heard John's description of this scene. The two disciples running to the tomb, them both looking inside and seeing Jesus' wrappings, but not the man himself. And the two disciples went away, back home, he tells us. The two disciples saw what they saw, and they believed the Lord was gone. But they did not understand what was about to take place. They did not stick around long enough to see for themselves. The disappointed reaction of these disciples can tell us a lot about our own faith and our own ability to deal with confusing and difficult situations. Like the disciples, we have all faced a difficult situation, situations that trouble us, situations that disturb us, situations that sap the remainder of our energy after an already exhausting week. We have all faced these times in our lives and have been given the choice. So what do we do? Do we stay here and cry, or do we go home? So I have lost my job. Do I stay here and cry, or do I go home? So my relationship has ended. So one I love dearly has died. So they have taken my Lord, and I do not know where. Do I stay here and cry, or do I go home? Simon Peter and the disciple whom Christ loved went home. Mary stayed and cried. The point of the difference in these reactions is not to say that one is better and the other worse. The point is not to say that Simon Peter had less faith or was less brave than Mary. Only that on this and every Easter Sunday, we ought to be very thankful to a certain woman named Mary Magdalene. One much maligned by history, one attacked in character, one disregarded as not a real disciple. We must be thankful to Mary Magdalene for everything that took place afterwards. Because if it was not for Mary's tears and Mary's witness, this story would be very different, and there would be nothing to shout hallelujah about. After the two disciples went away to their homes, Mary remained weeping and looking into the tomb. Unlike Simon Peter and the other disciple, Mary did not go home. She did not turn and give up on the tomb. Rather, she stayed and she cried helpless tears. And then two things happened very quickly. She saw in the tomb two angels where Jesus had been laid, and they asked her why she was weeping. After explaining why, that they had taken her master and she did not know where, she saw another figure outside of the tomb, one who she supposed to be the gardener. Only, of course, it was no gardener at all, but Jesus, the risen Christ. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" She said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus, calling her by name, said to her, "Mary." And all at once she realized, she turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus gave her the instruction, the first instruction, the first witness of the first witness of the resurrection. "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." In the great, wonderful, and strange story of the Gospels, how could it be any other way? That the first person to see Jesus risen from the grave would be Mary Magdalene, a woman not only so heartbroken at the death of her Lord, but also a woman who was not included in the group of official disciples. How could it be any other way that the first person to see Jesus risen in Easter glory was the person who needed to see him and have his encouragement more than any other? And so it was that Mary Magdalene became the first witness to the resurrection. The first person to see and believe that Jesus Christ, the same Jesus who took on the sins of the world on the cross on Good Friday, had returned to life on Easter Sunday in order to show us the way to eternal life. Leaving aside the scriptures for a moment, friends, we have heard the stories, not only in the scriptures, but in the world around us, of dramatic and miraculous transformation to faith in Jesus. We have heard about the man alone in a flea-bitten motel room who, having run out of whiskey, turned to the Bible in his nightstand. We have heard about the working girls who have heard the good news told to them by a street preacher and turned it all around. We have heard about those on the door of spiritual death who have finally let Jesus into their lives to heal them of their pain. We have heard all of these stories, stories of the least of us being lifted high by the pure grace and love of God. And how have we reacted? Well, if we are good, quiet Canadian Christians, I saw your eyebrow, Al. If we are good, quiet Canadian Christians, we have probably reacted by saying something like, "Good for you. That's nice. Good for you." Friends, if there is one thing to take home today, if there is one thing that John in his gospel and Mary in her witness and Jesus in his resurrection want us to improve upon this Easter Sunday, it is this. That when we meet these people, when we meet these real life Mary Magdalenes, when we meet these people who have had a dramatic encounter with Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, when we meet these people whose lives have been saved by the grace of God, when we meet those who have the courage to tell us their story, please don't say that's nice. Please don't say good for you. And before we rush to a conclusion, let me tell you why. Let me tell you why not to say that's nice, and let me tell you why not to say good for you. And hand to God, I have said it, and I'm working on it. The reason not to say these things is not because it's trite, not because it's rude, not because it's dismissive, but because it misses the point. When you meet someone who tells you about their experience with the risen Christ, Mary Magdalene or your neighbor next door, Mary, they are not telling you for their sake. They are telling you for yours. This is the purpose of witness. We do not witness to Jesus Christ for our own sake. We do not tell the good news of resurrection for ourselves, but for others so that they may come to believe as well. Let me say that again. The one who goes around witnessing to the love and the grace and the forgiveness they have found in the risen Jesus is not doing it for them. They're doing it for you. So what shall we say? Thank you. Hallelujah. He is risen indeed. Thanks be to God. Say whatever you like. Say what you say when you receive the communion bread. Say what you say when you receive the communion cup. Amen is just fine. These witnesses are all around us. And if we follow that thread all the way back in history, it ends at Mary Magdalene, the first witness of the resurrection. Jesus instructed her, "Go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And John proclaimed the truth that Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." Mary did not tell the disciples for her sake, but rather for their sake, for the sake of all humanity, for the sake of the church who had just received their Messiah risen from the grave, thanks be to God. Friends, the only reason any of us are here this morning is because of the gospel witness of Mary Magdalene, a woman supposedly of a certain lifestyle and profession. I'm being careful because there's kids here. A woman who would make us uncomfortable in our quiet Christian Canadian sensibilities. A woman we might respond to with only a "that's nice" or a "good for you" had we met her and heard her witness today. Friends, I love preaching and witnessing and ministering here at the corner of 20th Street and Spadina. I love the call to minister to the community that has been called by God to be the church at the crossroads of these two very different streets and these two very different Saskatoons that they represent. I love being in community with you wonderful and loving people. I love serving alongside you hardworking and dedicated servants of Jesus Christ. I love to minister at St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church. But my friends, I would not be giving an honest witness to God's call if I said that we are already meeting his call in our church. God has placed us at the corner of 20th Street and Spadina. God has placed us at the crossroads of what these names conjure in our minds, the courthouse and the lighthouse, the Bessborough Hotel and the 24-hour pawn shop. God has placed us at the intersection of these two worlds and asked us to do as Mary has done, to witness to the love that caused Jesus to pour out his life for us on Friday and to rise again for our sake on Sunday. And if we are to take this call seriously, if we want to be this witnessing community in this diverse and complicated place, then I ask you, myself, and all of us this question. Are we listening to the Mary Magdalenes among us? Are we listening to the Mary Magdalenes among us? The Marys outside our doors, the Marys in our pews, the Marys within ourselves. Are we giving enough attention to those, including ourselves, who have seen the risen Christ with their very eyes? Are we listening to their words and are we trying to believe? Are we encouraging these voices to speak? Are we listening? Are we believing the good news that they are bringing is for our sake and for the sake of the world? The beautiful thing about a church, the beautiful thing that about the place and the thing that Mary was starting without even really knowing it, the church, is that there is no fee for admittance. There is no dress code, no secret password, nothing that should prevent someone from hearing the word of God preached and the sacraments rightly administered on Sunday morning. The beautiful thing about a church is that it is a place where diverse witnesses can gather to tell one another their stories. Their stories of grace, their stories of difficulty, their stories of resurrection, so that by experiencing the witness of each member is equipped with greater knowledge and experience of God's love. We can each only live one life, but in witnessing community, we can carry many stories with us. We can leave refreshed and refueled to witness again, encouraged by the faith of others when ours is running low. The The beautiful thing about a church is that we are all welcome to feast at the Master's table and to receive bread and wine beyond measure but without cost. Friends, on the day that Mary Magdalene received her call to be the first witness to the resurrection, the church was in a state of flux. Their master was gone and dead. The disciples had gone into hiding. Had it not been for the work and the witness of Mary, the disciples might never have come to believe in the resurrection. The church, as it was then and is now and will be in the future, would never come to be, and we, none of us, would come to know that Jesus Christ went to the grave and came back to show us that God is love. The good news of this Easter morning, of every Sunday morning when we gather to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, is this. Not only has Christ risen from the grave, not only this, but Christ is in the world. He is standing outside the tomb. Christ is in our lives. He is at work on 20th Street and on Spadina Crescent. He is at work in the lives of the rich and the poor, those who suffer with too much and those with not enough. Christ is at work in the story of each person's life, drawing them into relationship with him and the cloud of witnesses gathered here. Turning a light on in the darkness of every life, giving his peace to those with none, giving his call to all of us to witness to what has taken place in that tomb and in our hearts. Friends, we each have some Mary Magdalene inside us. We each know what it is to be unincluded. We each know what it is like to stand crying at the mouth of a tomb, a symbolic tomb in our lives, wondering what we are to do. And we each know that Jesus has taken a special interest in each of our lives, giving us faith, giving us a witness story to go and tell others what we have seen. What is the story Christ has given you? What is the story Christ has given you to tell? So for Christ, our resurrected King, for the Mary of history, for the Marys on the streets around us, for the Marys within each of us, let us not be put to shame, but let us go out into the world to witness to the living and risen Christ that calls us to life eternal. Let us return with sure faith to the one who says he is risen with a joyful response. He is risen indeed. And let's start right now. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Happy Easter. Amen.